you'll take your Bibles tonight and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We've made it to verse 12. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for the day that we've had so far, looking forward to what you have for us now as we turn back to your word. And I pray, Father, that you would again speak to each of us personally. I pray that we would look to you for all things and continue to keep living by faith. And I pray, Father, as we look to your word tonight, I pray that it would come alive to us, the truths of it would stand out, that we could apply to our lives. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So we are to reprove and expose sin by the light. By the light. Too many times we want to try to expose people's sin by what we think or what we believe, but it should always be by the light. Tell people what's going on. I was talking to Dr. Rasmussen out in the parking lot after Tuesday night and all, and I said it was amazing some of the things that took place, and one of them was the piano we got, and the pastor of that church out there in Rosalia where we got the piano that's in the back room, not this one, he said, every question I've asked you, you've responded with, this is what the Word of God says. I said, because my opinion doesn't matter. Let me tell you, your opinion doesn't matter, my opinion doesn't matter. What matters is the Word of God. Yeah. And God says that it's a shame to even speak of those things, to even speak of them, of those that are done in secret. We shouldn't even talk about it, except for, and let me just say this, to contradict and oppose them. Let people know. I have a hard time when people take the Lord's name in vain. And I can't be quiet about it. I have to say, that's just not right. Please don't do that. And we were visiting Dad a few weeks back, and there was a guy, and he kept over and over and over, and I kept asking him not to do it. And it seemed like the more I asked him not to do it, the more he did it. And I was getting a little irritated with him. And I finally said, that's offensive to me. Please don't do that anymore. And he ended up going, I'm guessing, off to his room or whatever. And I thought, you know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be around it. And I get it that these people have memory issues and stuff, but they don't have to do that over and over and over. So I just said, please don't do that. I tried to be very nice about it, just said, please don't do that. Then I had to tell him, that's offensive. It's offensive for that. I don't want it, that stuff going on. But there's a lot of stuff going on today in secret that people openly talk about. And let me just say this, it's not just lost people. It saved people. And it should not be. Paul goes on to say it's a disgrace even to speak of things which are done by them in secret. A disgrace. Some things are so vile that they should be discussed in as little detail as possible, because even describing them is morally and spiritually dangerous. You have to be careful. There's a lot of things, like I said, that are going on out there, and everybody here knows I'm anti-abortion. I make no apologies for that. And I've seen some of this stuff and what goes through when they do those. I don't want to discuss that in great detail because it doesn't need to be. What needs to be said is it's just murder and it's wrong. We can stand with God or we can stand with man. The choice is ours. I choose to stand with God. He says it's murder. We shouldn't be involved in it. And we don't need to talk about it in great detail, like I said, because we can get off into where all that morbid stuff becomes all that we focus on, and we don't need to do that. Positive proclamation of the pure truth in the light of the Word exposes all evil. All evil would be exposed. When the light comes, right? Jesus came as the light of the world to what? Expose their sin. Expose our sin. Expose all sin, right? You bring the light to the world because in darkness, they can hide their sin. But in light, you can't hide it. It's exposed. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Let me say this again, too. If you're going to reprove somebody of what they're doing, do it in love. There's the right way to do it and the wrong way to do it. And going up and telling people how wrong they are and shaking your fist in their face and all is not the way to get it done. We can, in love, tell people that they've done something that they ought not to do. Even if it irritates us, right? We can still remember that we are to love them because God loves them. And God's commanded us that we're to love them. We don't have to like what they're doing. We don't have to approve of what they're doing. God never once said we have to approve of their sin. But we need to love them regardless. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Very famous bit of scripture here. Oops, I get to the right Timothy. Second Timothy 3:16, all scripture. You notice how he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture. Not just bits and pieces of it, but all scripture. That's why I have a hard time when they start perverting the Word of God, because it doesn't say the same thing. You need to go back to the King James Version of the Bible for English-speaking people so we can know what the Word of God truly says. It says, 4, this tells why the Christian must expose the sins of the lost. It is shameful even to discuss their iniquities in decent company. How much the worse is the committing of these sins, hence the need to bring them to light. Speaking as if you are condoning what they have done. You shouldn't condone what they're doing, right? I mean, I had a point in my life when I had to rebuke my dad for something he did. I didn't do it in his house. I invited him to my house. I wouldn't do it in his house. That's his house. But he came to my house, and I told him how I felt. And I told him I still loved him. But I told him, I said, he will answer to God for the choices he made. And that it wasn't a very good example to my children. We still got along. We still could talk. I still loved him. He still loved me. See, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Some people have just gone over to his house and rebuked him in his own home. That's his house. I wasn't going to do it in his house. He could come to my house, and then it's my house, right? And I did it in love, and I let him know I loved him. Just like when I corrected my children, I told them, you got corrected for doing wrong. I still love you, and I corrected them in love. There was a time when I got really angry with my kids. And I said, go to your room, I'll deal with you later, after I've calmed down. Because at the moment, I wouldn't have been able to deal with them in love. I would have dealt with them in anger, which would have been wrong. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. But we have to expose the sin. Some people have no idea what they're involved in, till somebody brings the light and shines it on it. They're thinking there's no big deal. I can tell you today in this world, There are people that profess to know Christ that think there's nothing wrong with same-sex marriage. They think there's nothing wrong with abortion. They think there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. If you read the Word of God, you'll know what God says about it. God's against it. All of those things. But people have embraced it and actually accept it and actually even join in it, which is wrong. Speaking of the devil and his works, even in condemnation, seems in some way to glorify them to some extent. It is best just not to mention them at all. Ephesians 5:13 goes on to say, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light." The pure and illuminating light of God's Word exposes all the secrets of sin. Our commission as children of light is to hold everything up to the light of Scripture to expose and seek to remedy whatever is evil. We shouldn't be involved in it. It's amazing how many think that it's no big deal to be involved in it. We're supposed to be an example. We're supposed to be an ambassador for Christ. Why would we think it would be okay to participate in open sin, let alone secret sin? When the light of the Lord Jesus shines on anything, it is suddenly revealed what it really is. This light is so bright that it reveals everything good and bad, because the light is a revealer. He said, you know, you can go into a dark room and stub your toe pretty easily, but you turn the light on, you see where everything is, right? If you stub your toe with the light on, then that's your own fault, right? Walking around in the dark, turn the light on. It exposes everything. You know where everything is. But most sin is done in total darkness to cover up the evil deed. There used to be, now I'm going to add this, because today it seems to be more in-your-face blatant, they don't care. But it used to be, there was a day when they did everything in under the cloak of darkness because they didn't want it to be revealed. Today they don't have any problem with doing it in broad daylight, in front of witnesses. One of my favorite things these days is there's cameras everywhere. How do you avoid them? They're everywhere. People have got them on their houses. They've got them on their shops. They're on doorbells. They're on street cameras all over. How do you avoid that? And yet they'll go out and blatantly commit sin, knowing that there's cameras everywhere. And you think you're not going to be seen? I liked for a while, if anybody noticed, between here and going through the Liberty Lake area, they had cameras set up along the freeway, and they were filming people speeding through there. It was controlled by cameras. I said, I wonder how many of these people that are flying by me in this zone are getting tickets in the mail. I was like, I can't believe it. It's amazing. And big signs telling them that they were doing it. Cameras in broad daylight. I mean, right there in your face, you could see them. And they're still flying through there. I'm like, really? People can't be for real, right? But they just don't care. Doesn't matter. I said, I can understand, you know, those rich people flying through there. They don't care. They'll just pay the ticket and move on, right? But some of those cars didn't look like those people had much money, and they were flying through there anyway. Guess until it hurts too much, they're not going to stop. And that's a lot of what happens. It has to hurt too much or people won't stop. Well, let me just say this. God's capable of making it hurt too much. Most sin done in total darkness to cover up the evil deed, the light exposes everything. It cannot stay hidden when the light is shined on it. Light is what makes things manifest, that which shows them to be as they actually are. When sin is revealed, it loses its hiddenness and is seen for the ugliness it is. See, Satan makes sin look appealing, right? If Satan would make sin look as ugly as it really is, it'd be easy to say no to, right? So Satan makes it look appealing. So then we'll say, oh, well, that's not so bad. I've used the illustration before. If Satan showed up in that, you know, red costume with the pointy ears and the pointy tail and the pitchfork and all that, if he showed up like that, we'd immediately say, I'm not going to listen to that because that's the devil, right? But he shows up making things look good and appealing. And we go, oh, that's not so bad. And then we're sucked in. And then we get to pay the consequence of that sin. And then we don't like it. The Bible's very clear. Be sure your sin will find you out. You're not hiding anything. We are to be spiritually awake. Ephesians 5:14 says, wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Using this quotation from Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Paul extended an invitation for salvation to the unsaved in order that they may be transformed from children of darkness into children of God's holy light. So what I've said over and over and over, if we could get the gospel to them and they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the light would come upon and they would become children of light instead of children of darkness. The issue is Satan has blinded them to the truth and it makes it difficult to get through to them, especially if we're not living as we should be living, as God's children. Because people won't see something in our lives that they might need. In fact, some of them, they look at people who profess to be Christians and they go, I don't need that in my life. When they should be looking at Christians living the Christian life and say, there's something different about them that I would like in my life. That's the way it should be. In Proverbs 4:18 it says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. If we just continue to live according to the Word of God, pleasing to God, then our light would shine brightly. It would make a difference. I've said if people would get saved, because yes, that's the first part of it, get them saved, but then they have to live according to the Word of God. There's many people out there that are professed to know Christ as Savior and are not living it. Not even remotely close. In fact, you look at the way they live and you think, I believe that's a child of the devil. And you talk to them and they're, no, I got saved. Can you tell me when that happened and what the experience was? Because I don't know what you're trusting in. But from where I'm standing and the light that I see shined on you, your life's not portraying anything remotely close to what you should be living if you are a child of God. People say, well, you can't be that way. I can be that way. God says we're supposed to be fruit inspectors. We'll know by their fruit. There's a lot of people out there that have bad fruit. Makes you wonder. These words express a capsule view of the gospel, including the invitations of Isaiah and in James. So look at Isaiah 1st, 55. Isaiah 55. Look at verses 1 through 3. And then we'll drop down and look at 6 and 7. Isaiah 55:1, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy, and eat. Yea, come, buy, wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the secure mercies of David. Then drop down to verse 6. It says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I also mentioned James. Look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we'll start in verse 6. James 4:6 says, But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Since exposing sin is beneficial, God invites the unbeliever, thou that sleepest, to turn from his sin, arise from the dead, with the promise that he will be granted the spiritual enlightenment and help needed. Christ shall give thee light. Those living in sin are, for all good purposes, dead, right? They're dead in their trespasses and sins. It's where we all were. One point. Dead in our trespasses and sins. When they receive the light of Jesus, they receive life. When you receive light, then you must let that light shine brightly for all the world to see. Remember that little song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine, right? We need to let our light shine for Jesus. Be a light in this dark world. We need to walk carefully in wisdom. Look at Ephesians 5:15. Says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk circumspectly. To live morally is to live wisely. Biblically, an unwise man is not so named because of intellectual limits, but because of unbelief and the consequent abominable deeds. The unwise. In Psalm 14:1, it says, The fool hath said in his heart, There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The fool has said, There is no God. We know there is a God. The only true and living God. Romans 1:22 says, Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They talked themselves up. Basically, they're just fools. He lives apart from God and against God's law. Look over at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1. Verse 7. We're going to look at verse 22 also. So Proverbs 1:7, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then 22, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning? The fools hate knowledge. And turn to Proverbs 14:9. Proverbs Proverbs 14:9, fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. They can't comprehend the truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Unless they have the Holy Spirit, they don't have anyone to discern the Word of God to them. So they don't receive the things of the Spirit of God, because they cannot comprehend their true condition. In Romans chapter 1, 21 and 22. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Certainly, believers are to avoid behaving like fools. In Luke, it says, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Galatians 3, 1-3 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and now made perfect by the flesh? This word circumspectly is akribos, and means exactly, diligently, perfect. This then is saying, walk on the narrow path that leads to life everlasting. Its meaning, therefore, watch carefully how you live. Watch how you live. If you tell people that you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, or you use the term Christian, or whatever you tell them, they will start watching you like with a microscope to see what your life is like. Are you living it? Are you living... And it boggles my mind that lost people know more about how the Scripture says we're to live than born-again believers do. And yet, they know what it says, and they won't accept it. It's amazing to me. It's like, you know that much about the Scriptures, but you have not asked Christ to save you? Why? Most of the time, it's because people who profess to know Christ have been a very bad ambassador for him. We're not living like we should. And having that example that shows them we have something that they need. Paul commands all believers to walk as wise men. Just as they are to walk in humility, unity, separation, love, and light, they are also to walk especially in wisdom. In other words, they are to live like the people they are. We belong to Christ. As born-again believers, we belong to Christ. We should walk like we belong to Him. Right? I know Brother Fred had mentioned before, don't embarrass me, right? You leave the kid somewhere, don't embarrass me. We all, as children, don't embarrass me, right? If you embarrass me, boy, it's going to be bad for you when we get home, right? And then we go and embarrass God and don't think twice about it. I wonder how many times he goes, oh man, I wish that one wasn't mine. No, we know he doesn't do that. But can you imagine the embarrassment we are sometimes? Because Satan's up there saying, yeah, God, that one's yours. Look at the way they're acting. Look at what they're saying. Look at where they're going. That's yours. God says, yeah, I'll deal with them. That's when the chastisement comes. That consequence for the sin that we don't like so much. In Christ we are one, we are separated, we are love, we are light, and we are wise. And what we do should correspond to what we are. A fool wanders round on the broad path and leads to destruction. The believer begins his new life in Christ with all the wisdom necessary to live for his Lord, but he is also to continually grow in wisdom that he can be even more mature, more faithful, and more productive in his service. And then it's wise to follow on the narrow path that leads to heaven. When Christians sin and fall into Satan's traps, they do so because they live as unwise men rather than as wise. They revert to following the wisdom of their old lives, which was really foolishness. As we learn from David and many others in Scripture, and I've mentioned over and over and over, you don't think sin has consequences? Study David's life. His sin had great consequences. Believers are not immune from reverting to foolishness. The first way a believer plays the fool is by not believing God completely. Yeah. God says, be sure your sin will find you out. We think, oh no, I'm getting away with this one. No, you're not. We need to completely believe God's word. If we can trust God for salvation and security of that, then why don't we believe him when he says, be sure your sin will find you out? Why don't we believe him when he says there's consequences to every sin? Why don't we believe him? Because we think we can pull something over on Almighty God. It isn't going to happen. He believes God for salvation, but does not continue to believe him in and for everything else. It's hard for us to say, yes, God, my measly old life and these problems that I have are just way too big for you, so I'm going to take care of them myself. People go, I never said that to God. Our actions say that to God, right? Instead of turning it over to him and letting him get us through it, we just automatically turn to ourselves and say, well, I can do this one. Folks, we can't do anything. We're good at one thing, messing things up. And we're good at it. But God will get us through if we just keep focusing on him and following him. And don't we want to be pleasing to our Father? I mean, he's our Heavenly Father. Shouldn't we be pleasing to him? All right. We're out of time, so we'll stop here.